What kind of an idiot converts to Catholicism?
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Hi, this is Tim, definitely not Molly. This week on Geeks Without God, we record with Jeffrey Brown, and we talk about whether or not God's prayers cure cancer. They don't. I'm Tim.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
I'm Molly Glover.
And Nick Glover.
Oh my God, crazy guy.
And we are also joined by our good friend and one of the co-writers of our Geeks Without God theme song, Jeffrey Brown.
Hello, this is Jeffrey Brown. I'm not going to attempt a Guido Sarducci
impression. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that. You're from Georgia, not Italy.
That's true.
So Jeffrey is here because he made a post.
Oh, yeah.
And we were trying to talk about it. We were talking about topics we wanted to have coming up. Jeffrey, do you mind if I read this post, or do you want to read it yourself?
No, you go ahead. You can read it. That's fine.
So he made this post just a few days ago.
On Facebook.
I'm totally not trying to be awful. This is my truth. When people post about their chosen deity taking away someone's cancer or healing someone because of prayer, it makes me wonder, was my brother unworthy of God's intervention? Are my family's prayers less effective? Why does one person get to be healed while others suffer and die? I mean, farther along, we'll know all about it, but it's a bad policy. And when your prayers are answered to heal your loved one, I'm jealous.
So a little background on that. In 2010, my brother, who's was two years older than me, died of metastatic brain cancer.
That's fast moving.
Yeah, it was really, it took about 3 years from diagnosis to, you know, shuffling off this mortal coil.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, through all of that process, you get all of the people who give you advice and mm-hmm. say all the nice things, and I'm praying for you and all those things.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tons of thoughts and prayers. And the thing is, we grew up Southern Baptist, so we had, you know, all of this extended family and all of these people we went to church with growing up who were
the
all...
The church would pray for him.
Absolutely.
Or,
Yeah.
Which, and here's the thing, like, I don't have any problem with people who pray. And I think prayer is a great form of meditation, and I think it's a great way to focus your thoughts on things that, you know, you're dealing with or whatever. It's just, you know, I saw the other day, and this is really what prompted the post, was somebody said they had somebody in their family had gone into remission or whatever, and they said, mm-hmm. God is good.
Ah.
Like God had given them this gift of curing their family member of cancer.
Right.
And I was like, well, that feels kind of shitty. That feels kind of shitty because it's like, well, my brother, you know, died of cancer, so
mm-hmm.
is you know.
Did you no one pray hard enough? Or,
yeah. Did,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I
or
was
did
already.
Or did God feel your brother deserved it for some reason?
Right.
Right. Well, like, when we had Mark Lazarczyk on the show long ago, he said that was one of the things that drove him from fairly devout Catholicism to atheism, was that his baby girl got cancer.
Yeah.
And like, what kind of a God would give cancer to a little girl?
Yeah.
Like, why would it's the same Stephen
what
Fry,
plan?
You know? Yeah. Yeah. What, yeah. What's the plan here? What's the great plan, the
and
grand
why is
idea?
It a plan we don't get to know about. You just get to fuck us over.
Yeah.
Right.
The plan part bothers me especially because people will say, like, when bad things happen, they'll say, oh, God has a plan.
This is happening to you for a reason. You just don't know it yet.
But like, if God has a plan, then why would your prayers sway God?
Right.
Like, wouldn't, if this is a part of the plan, then like, fuck your prayer. It's completely meaningless.
If it's predetermined, then prayer is useless.
And what a shitty plan to give you cancer and then only take it away if you pray hard enough?
Right.
Like, what kind of a fucked up God is that?
Well, and how is that a plan to take, you know, my brother had a 3-year-old daughter when he died.
Yeah.
And it's like, how is that part of the plan to take the parent away from a 3-year-old?
Right. You're going to say the 3-year-old didn't pray hard enough for her daddy to live?
Right.
Like, come on.
Wait, God has Munchausen by proxy?
Oh, maybe.
Well, and the reason I thought this was interesting to bring up is there were several responses, and clearly, you know, coming from a Baptist family, coming and from that background, you have some friends who clearly still felt they had answers.
Still in the fold.
Yeah.
Those folks.
Well, wool over eyes.
Well, and a lot of the God has a plan and you don't understand it was in the comments to that post.
Yeah, here's one that I thought was interesting and that I felt had a lot to unpack. This grieves my heart, Jeffrey. We truly will never understand on this side of life. I believe God does grieve with us. He knows and experienced death of a loved one. Oh, Jesus, his own son.
Oh, my God. The one he made die?
There's more.
It was his whole plan.
He understands. He sympathizes. He is loving. He is faithful, even though you may not feel that way at the moment or anymore. God's intention when he created this world was never to have sin, death, tragedy, and discontent. Here it comes. But it goes all the way to Adam and Eve and our sin nature that separated us from the Garden of Eden and the perfect world and harmony that was initially intended.
And when she says Adam and Eve, she means Eve.
Yeah.
Filthy women.
Love you, friend. And a lot of people loved Alex, including me. It's hard, and I'll continue to pray for a peace that surpasses all understanding.
That's part of one of the reasons I said farther along we'll know all about it. That's
it's a
in
hymn.
The post, it's a hymn.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful hymn,
yeah.
Actually. And honestly, in the hymn, it asks the question, why do people suffer? And other, like, people who are sinners, why do they prevail while those of us who are righteous mm-hmm. and in you know, on the right path, why do we suffer?
So that's Aaron Burr syndrome.
Yeah, it's that whole, yeah, it's that, exactly. It's
yeah.
like, you know,
it
I'm,
is.
I'm a, it's Javert. It's yep. I'm a righteous person. Yep. What am I doing suffering?
How come this guy can steal bread and everyone loves him? What the
but
fuck? I'm a cop.
That's why
cops.
I say it's a bad policy. It is a bad policy to keep your believers in the dark. You know?
Yeah. But weirdly enough, it's a focal point of all religions
that
you cannot know the will of God,
yes.
that you can never know the truth of things. And it's almost like that's the weird con.
It's a logical loophole.
It's, yeah.
Every religion can pull it and just say, ah, mysteries.
Can't ever know.
Ah, greater plan.
Can't ever know. You can't say that we're wrong because you can't prove that we're wrong.
Well, it's like the veil in the temple. So yeah. Going back to early Christianity and into the church that Jesus, if he existed, mm-hmm. came out of, there was a veil in the temple that hid all of the secrets. It's where you kept your Torah. It's where you kept
yep.
all the things that common believers couldn't touch or see.
Also to keep them away from women.
Well, yeah.
And their filthy menstruating bodies.
So one of the...
It's true.
Someone might cough on the book.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and when Jesus died, apparently the veil was torn asunder in the temple,
mm-hmm.
like because the veil between God and man was supposed to have ripped apart.
Yes.
And so one of the early tenets of the Baptist church that I grew out of was what they call the priesthood of the believer, which meant that any believer can petition directly to God.
Right.
So... you don't have to go through a priest or any kind of intermediary.
Pretty much all. That's basically what the Protestant
yeah.
faith is built on: is that you don't
yes.
need a priest, you don't need to speak Latin,
right.
you can do it yourself just by getting on your knees and humbling yourself before the Lord.
Right. It's between
yeah.
you and God, and that's
yep.
and so like and that's kind of what I was brought up in. And then it's and so to have that whole thing about, well, you just can't understand it. It's like, well, why not? If I'm supposed to have this deep personal mm-hmm. relationship with my deity, then why am I supposed to
yeah.
suffer here in darkness?
Why are the secrets all on his side?
Right.
Why does he get all the secrets? And I tell him everything.
Omnipotence.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's everything. He knows everything about
mm-hmm.
me. I know nothing about him.
Well,
and not only that, but he won't share anything about him. And I mean, of course, the argument is, well, the Bible tells you everything you need to know about God, but it doesn't really, because it does, because then there's this whole idea of God's plan, which God
right.
does not share with us. We can never know his plan. He never holds an annual meeting in which he explains what
the
plan
shareholders.
Is for his
I'm
Baptist
call
shareholders.
For a vote of no confidence.
I will say in this comment, something that I found particularly troubling is that this person is going to pray for the peace that, what is it?
Surpasses all understanding.
Yeah. Which to me sounds like that whole let go and let God.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
yeah.
need to understand anything. I'm just going to feel like I know Jesus take the wheel.
Yeah.
God's got it.
Yeah.
And I've never understood people like that who can put such blind trust in anything without, I mean, anything really, like without a check-in now and then, right? Like,
it doesn't seem advantageous in any way. Like, I mean, yeah, I could see if someone was, if it had some benefit.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I could see how that stuck around, but I mean, like, that doesn't benefit anyone that's practicing religion. That might benefit people that run religion.
It's weird.
But the people that are a part of the religious body don't benefit at all from Jesus take the wheel.
Yeah.
Like it seems so inherently, obviously stupid.
But I mean, you wouldn't do that with any other part of your life.
I was just going to say, I implicitly, okay, so Nick and I have a fucking great marriage, right? Yeah. Like, I completely trust him 100%. But at the same time, I still check in. We still check in now and then, be like, hey, everything good? You're happy?
And
like,
it's not
everything
a one-sided
okay?
communication.
Right. And I'm not just being like, oh, I hope Nick's okay. Like, I mean, and if there's a check-in, that doesn't mean there's no trust, but there's a check-in both ways. And I think that we never get that from God. There's no check-in coming from God where God's like, hey, just so you know, totally still here.
Right.
Definitely have your back. And and if that check-in is supposed to be, you remember how I gave your brother cancer?
Yeah.
I'm still here, buddy. Just right here looking out for you.
Like, I heard your prayers and I didn't answer them.
Yeah.
I heard your prayers and I answered them by killing your brother, but I'm not going to tell you why.
Well, and when people tell me it's part of God's plan, my response is, well, fuck him.
Yeah.
Because
if anyone had a plan where your brother died young of cancer, fuck them, right?
Exactly.
Right. Anyone.
That is a bad plan.
If there's a serial killer out there and his plan was to
murder
kill your
family?
Brother.
Oh, yeah.
Was to kill your brother.
Yeah.
We would have a problem with that.
We wouldn't
be
like, you know what? I bet he had a reason. We should just let this play out.
Well, with anybody, with any crime.
The killer's long-term plan is here. Where are they going with this?
Let's go down to Thanos. I mean, it's like...
He had a plan.
It's an arguable plan. I mean, mass murder is wrong. We can all agree on that.
Right.
But there's some logic to his plan.
He has a goal that is admirable.
Yes.
If God has a plan, why is he still giving cancer to kids and, you know, people in general and who are not, you know, elderly and that just happens? Why are young people still getting cancer when, like... The climate change. And but fix climate change, how about?
You know, I
feel like there's bigger items on the task list.
Or at least just convince our president that it's real.
Yeah, bullet journal, God. Yeah. Prioritize some shit.
I saw total tangent. I saw the biggest nerd nitpick today online where someone referred to the snap as Thanos' genocide.
Yeah.
And like the very next comment was a dude saying, well, actually, it wasn't genocide because it was 50% of every population of everyone.
Yeah,
so
genocide
is defined as
targeting a specific demographic group.
Sorry,
even
right.
if there were only one or two of a thing left, they wouldn't be exterminated.
Right. I'm sorry. Thanos' Holocaust. Is that better?
So, that's a dope punk band name.
Oh, man. So, there was one thing in this thing that it actually, and I mean, we have friends who are Christians and they're good people, and I don't have anything against them, but this bugged me from the beginning, this idea, and honestly, I don't think most Christians look at it this way. What she said, you know, he knows and experienced the death of a loved one, Jesus, his own son. This whole idea that God had to experience the death of his own son to sympathize with and understand loss.
I think the thing that makes me the most angry is...
He didn't lose anything.
Isn't also... Well, Jesus is him, too. So.
Right.
Jesus resurrected corporeally. Jesus is one of, like, three people that exists in heaven as a body.
Right. So he's right there. Seated at the right hand of the Father. Yeah.
You know what?
No
God
loss.
Can talk to Jesus whenever he wants. I don't ever get to talk to my brother.
All he needs is
ever
exactly.
again. Like, that's not loss.
Well, and so it's something that I've never understood is that anyone can believe in a God that would be able to even comprehend mortal life. And mortal emotions and mortal needs. Like, I feel like an unsympathetic God that's capricious and is, you know, like the God of the anthill, as it were, from Malcolm in the Middle, where Dewey's talking about like, where Dewey's talking about like, I spent an hour watching the ants and they had all their little busy ant lives. And, you know, for all I know, they could have been begging me not to kill them, but I couldn't tell. I couldn't hear them. So, you know, I did what I wanted. And like, to me, that's a God I could at least understand people's belief in, like a fearsome God, a God like the God of the Old Testament, the God of like the gods of Norse religions, where it's like, we have no idea what the this fucking guy is going to come down, turn into a bull and fuck our ladies. I don't know what we're, I don't know what's going on. This dude's nuts. Like, that kind of stuff makes more sense.
And his wife is going to take it out on the ladies instead of on him.
That stuff makes more sense to me than, no. He totally understands exactly what it feels like to lose your brother young of cancer. And it makes him so sad, though. It makes, he's like crying right there with you. He just wishes he could do anything about it. But unfortunately, he's only omnipotent.
Well, it's that whole thing about, it's, you know, God made us in his image when it's completely the opposite. We've completely made God in our image.
He didn't want any sin. That was our fault. Right. Like,
well, who gave us free will?
Yeah.
You've seen that meme of like Jesus knocking on someone's door. It's, let me in so I can protect you. From what? Me, if you don't let me in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Nice world you got there. It'd be a problem if someone did something to you. Yeah.
And I was reading this and I was going, wow, there's this amazing gift for self-delusion. This thing that you have to, and many of the comments that were supportive of God, I mean, the one right above the one I read, such a mystery. Prayer is so necessary for those affected and for those that pray. This is my belief. And it's literally all, they just believe prayer is necessary.
For those who pray.
They don't explain why. For those affected and for those that pray. They're basically saying, if you are affected by something and somebody is praying for you or you are praying, it is important for that. And now, from Jeffrey's perspective, you know, arguably perhaps from a meditative point of view, that it could be true. That the process of praying can provide mental benefit.
Yes.
That it has nothing to do with God.
Being a living being that is aware of the fact that you're going to one day die and that your life is finite is a source of existential anxiety in everyone, whether they know it or not. Like, that is like where religion comes from, and religion helps deal with that anxiety because not everyone can find a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like, that's legit. I think there are better ways to do it, but that's how some people do it.
Well, everybody, I feel like everybody wants one thing. Everybody wants love. Everybody wants connection of some kind.
I would say connection of some kind. Yeah.
And it might not be romantic love or whatever, but it's everybody, I think, and humans, scientifically, it's been shown, thrive on connection.
Yeah.
You know,
we're social.
We are social animals.
Yeah.
You know, so I can see the benefits in early religion of coupling and of grouping together in community. And I can see how religion fostered that in some ways.
It explains the unexplainable.
Yes.
Until we can explain it.
And that's the thing, is we have reached an age where so much is explainable at this point. And, you know, and Tim and I, it's so funny because we've been friends for almost 10 years now. And it's funny because I've always called myself an agnostic, and Tim is a very staunch atheist, and he always says he rounds me up to an atheist.
I say I round myself up to an atheist.
Yeah. Right.
It's like I'm 99.9% certain there's no God.
Right.
So so technically that would be an agnostic.
Being a Gnostic atheist is no better than being a Gnostic deist, you know? Like, I mean, you can't be, you're not sure. You're not fucking sure.
I'm not 100% positive.
Yeah. Right.
Well, there might be the anthill God.
I'm not sure I'm going to wake up tomorrow.
Right.
I mean, I'm 99.9% sure, but
And more importantly, worrying about it needlessly is not of help.
Well, and the thing is, like, we're in an age now where so much is explainable that I don't feel the need to personify my doubts or, you know, explain without explaining where things are. Like the things I don't know, I figure we're going to figure out pretty soon.
Yeah.
You know, and by pretty soon, that could be on a millennial scale or whatever. Sure, but I mean, we have reached an age where the things that weren't explainable are now explainable. We know what thunder is. Mm-hmm. We know why lightning strikes. We know, you know, like there was a tornado a couple of days ago and it was shitty and it killed a lot of people. But we know why it.
Yeah, and we know why the Nile rises and falls. We don't have to, like,
Right.
Yeah, we know all these things. But then we go, well, we just don't know God's plan. Here's another thing that somebody said that I love. Miracles, big or small, can be seen all over when tragedy strikes. Which I'm like, so you're talking, I mean, what are you talking about?
Look on the bright side of your brother dying,
dude.
Jeffrey, just what about all the good things that happened? All the
good things that happened. Well,
For real today, I read an article on the Washington Post where there was a church that burned down and all the Bibles didn't burn.
No.
And like the cross didn't burn. And so like they're fucking and no firefighters died fighting the blaze. And so of course, now here's a whole crop of people who have what they consider to be
a miracle.
Evidence.
Yeah.
Evidence of a miracle. How could the whole building burn but not these paper Bibles? And it's like, first of all, I don't necessarily believe that that happened because I have no way of, I mean, it's nice that you
maybe
reported
some
that.
Bibles.
Who could possibly have a stake in this? In this lie, to make
and
that a thing.
No thanks at all to the firefighters or acknowledgement of all the training and equipment. Right.
They were good at their job.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, another example is the 9/11 cross.
Oh, the rebar cross.
The rebar, the these two girders that were in the
happened
shape of a cross.
Happened to fall in an
90 degree
angle.
Weird.
It's an X.
It's weird. It's weird that in a
they're
building, you know, made of girders that are riveted together.
No. At 90 degree angles.
Yeah,
that's how you pour concrete. You put rebar at 90 degree angles, and then you pour concrete over it.
And it wasn't like it landed on top of the rubble, and there was this cross on top of the rubble. They're digging through the rubble. They're like, dude, look at this. These two individual pieces of I-beam look like a cross.
How many swastikas did they find?
Oh, wow.
I bet
they didn't find a single star of David.
He's around 9/11, you know?
It only looked like a cross, like, in that one picture from that one angle.
Sure.
Like, any other angle, it's just like garbage.
Yeah. I think,
just like religion.
I think a big part of being an atheist and agnostic is being able to accept that life is short, brutal, unfair,
chaotic,
and dispassionately cold at times, and that life doesn't really give a fuck about your plans, you know. And I think that people who need, a lot of people on this thread are people who need to believe that that's not true.
Right.
They can't accept that's not fair, because life's not fucking fair.
Right.
And they need to believe that they're a good person and they do good things. And even if life shits on them over and over and over, they're going to have an eternal reward and that it's okay. And I think that it's what's unfortunate is that so many people can't just, like, I feel like, let go and let God. Man, you want to know true freedom? Let go and just realize that, like, it's just life. Just hang on and live it. And you're going to get through it or you're not.
Let go and let life. Well, you're not going to get through it. Nobody, right. None of us are.
None of us gets out alive.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yep. And it's so just instead of being so concerned with, you know, making sure that you do right and everything you do is right, just live your own truth.
If only all the Christians were so concerned about doing what's right.
I know.
It's such a distraction, though, too, because it leads to so much misunderstanding of practical things. You know, when you look at our political environment and our political climate right now, I think it was Jim Jeffries who was talking about this, about there are certain people who are holding the train back.
Yeah.
He had some choice words about agnostics too. He was like, just get us off the train. But it feels like the overly religious are really holding society back, because they're holding on to this old dogma that doesn't serve any practical purpose.
Right.
No religion in Star Trek.
It's fucking medieval.
It's 'cause it's a utopia.
It's a Middle Ages
desert.
Beyond that, even.
Bronze Age.
Bronze Age
desert
survival guide.
Don't eat shrimp because it's like hot out.
Because you'll get botulism.
Don't eat wine because
the shrimp will kill you.
Yeah.
We can't treat trichinosis.
Yeah. That's just where it is. Okay, so
mixed fabrics are complicated.
We got to get to five questions, and Jeffrey.
Five questions.
I'm pretty sure we were pretty sure that you've answered our five questions, our most recent set, and even if you hadn't, we figured it was time that you. Asked us five questions.
Yeah, I brought some new five questions.
New five questions.
Okay. Delicious.
This is good. So aside from necessities, so put aside Maslow's hierarchy.
Sure.
What one thing could you not go a day without?
Well, and this is sad, but I mean, I'm a freelancer. I work from home. And every day I'm trying to find my next paycheck. Mm. So for me, it would be email and Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
Because I use those two things to communicate and to find work and to get people lined up to work with me and all the other things that need to be done. So if we're talking about aside from just the basic needs,
yeah,
I could not live without email and Facebook Messenger.
I'm going to say I wouldn't want to go one day without not being able to text Nick.
Aww.
Specifically.
That is so beautiful.
I know. It's super dumb.
You guys,
but that's what it would be.
So much less sweet than that.
Best couple.
Mine is some sort of coffee beverage.
Caffeine.
up top.
Like caffeine will do. But yes. Like coffee is... Great.
Yes. I've had to go without, so I know I can make it.
Yeah. I could. It's not a necessity, but if I have the choice,
Spirit of the question.
Will never choose to go without it.
Yeah.
I absolutely have to have caffeine. I must.
Yeah.
For my brain chemistry to fire on all cylinders, caffeine.
Nice. All right.
Necessary.
I don't drink coffee.
You're entitled to be wrong.
I'm not wrong. I do not drink coffee.
I know. Believe me, I've toured with you. I know. So what is the most useless thing you have ever bought?
The most useless thing you've ever bought.
There's so many things.
And you have kids, so that might be easier for you.
So, okay, I collect Dr. Doom stuff, right? Like figures, comic covers, statues, stuff like that. There's this series of Marvel figures called Marvel Legends. They're like 6 or 7 inch figures. I have like a really nice Dr. Doom one. It comes with like a parapet. For base for him to stand on. He's got a removable mask with his scarred face underneath and all that. And then they turned around and made the exact same figure with all the same, everything exactly the same, except underneath the mask is a robotic face because it's a Doombot replica of Dr. Doom. The only thing that's different is underneath the Doom mask, there is a metal face instead of a scarred flesh face. And I have... two of them.
How far apart did they release those figures?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Like, because I could see like after 3 years being like, oh, okay, this is a new version of that older thing. But if it was like the same day, that seems
no. I've got like one or two other variants of Doom figures, but those are like actually different in some way.
Yeah,
and one of them's like a palette swap with his white robe from the Future Foundation, and one of them he has an Infinity Gauntlet fist, which is a like a special thing you can only get if you're a Marvel subscriber, and like those are genuinely different in some way. This is just like put on part B instead of part A. Like yeah, it's worthless, and I love it.
All right, okay, so I for Renaissance Festival for my costume for Olive. I bought a large key that was not a bottle opener or anything. It was just like a 7-inch long key.
She's holding up her hand so you know how big it is.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look at it, think in my mind. And to like tie on my belt because I had other keys that were also not for anything.
Sure.
And I literally never used it. And instead, I think we traded it away one time.
Oh, for
it was like 2 pounds, 3 pounds.
Of, so like,
it was heavy.
It was an impulse purchase, but I was positive I was going to use it, and I didn't use it that season. And then the next season, which was last season, I wasn't going to use it, and it was like, we should, I guess, trade this away.
Yeah.
So that's what we did.
It's a good answer. I'm trying to figure out the best spirit of this question because I look around this room that we are in, that we record in, and there are so many useless things in this room. I mean, I have a collection of Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, the Fellowship of the Ring Pez dispensers.
Yeah.
It's the Fellowship of the Ring and Pez dispensers.
Bereft of Pez.
NIB. Pretty, NIB.
It's pretty useless.
Ooh, there's probably Pez in there then.
Right?
It's pretty useless, and yet it's still pretty fucking awesome.
If you were starving to death, you could crack it open and eat the Pez.
I could.
If he was starving to death, he should sell it to a bigger nerd.
I'm going
to
say, out of the things I can see, the more useless thing is how you have a second globe next to your one miniature globe and it has less stuff.
Well,
like you can't see it.
Those are bookends. So
with no books in between them.
And I didn't buy those. I didn't buy those. They were a gift. So
All right.
So, technically, they're just ends. As I look at all these things and I try and think about what's truly useless that I did spend money on, I do have a 100-sided die that I bought just because a 100-sided die seemed like something super awesome.
They're awful.
They're basically a sphere.
Yes.
And so if you roll it, it takes like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
For it to land on a number when two 10-sided dice.
That's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Does it have little balls or weights?
Yeah, it has little weights inside it to help it rest so it'll slow down a little faster. But I think in the spirit of the question, that has to qualify as
they're fucking worthless.
The most useless thing I've ever bought.
That is pretty useless.
Okay.
All right, next question.
That's good. All right. Next. Is this question four?
Question three.
All right.
If you had to compare yourself to one fictional character, who would it be?
Compare ourselves like we think we are similar to them, or we're very we're super different.
No,
like,
I'd say
similar.
Similarness.
Yeah.
If you had to describe yourself, as a fictional character that exists, who would? I mean, like. It just off the top of my head, I'd be Ducky from Pretty in Pink.
Oh, yes, you would.
Sure,
like, that's sure you would.
Totally an avatar I can get with.
Okay, let me think.
I love the fact that anybody who listens to this who knows me is going, oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? Because, like, okay, the first time I've ever, like, seen a character on screen and been like, oh, shit, it me, was this show called The Bridge. That had an autistic woman character who I didn't know was autistic at the time until I looked into it more, and it turns out she is. And there's a scene, she's a cop, there's a detective. There's a scene where she's in, like, the bull pit, as it were. You know, you always see detectives, and they're all around, open office plan desks.
Yeah.
And she looks down, and her shirt is dirty, so she just whips off her shirt, reaches into her desk drawer, pulls out another shirt, and goes to put it on. And the guy, her guy partner, is like, whoa, hey, come on, go to the bathroom or something. And she's like, what? Yeah. Like, I'm wearing a bra.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, people don't want to see. And Nick and I both started laughing because that's a classic Molly move.
It is totally.
Is to just take off my clothes because I don't care. Yeah. And not even think about that it might make other people uncomfortable. But I don't know if that, because otherwise we didn't have a lot in common. So that's the closest I can come up with for now.
Yeah. Reminds me of the moment we met.
Oh, yeah. I tell that story all the time. The moment I met Jeffrey, he showed up late for the first meeting for the Vilification Tennis Show, audition show.
Signature move.
We were all sitting in a circle in a coffee shop. He walked into the center of the circle, sat down, and said, oh, my God, sorry I'm late. Hi, everyone, I'm Jeffrey. I got to change. And pulled off his pants to put on another pair of slightly differently ripped jeans that looked identical to the first pair. And was like wriggling in and out of him and just going, so what have we covered so far? And I was like, I hate this guy. And 10 minutes later, I was like, no, I really like this guy. Yeah.
Charm goes a long
way. Yeah, no, your charm skills are off the charts.
First impressions. But
this is really hard.
It is hard. I can't think of any one character that is like totally like me. But I remember the one character that when I watched the movie, I was like, oh, that's really kind of who I fucking am. It's the basket case character, the Ally Sheedy character from The Breakfast Club.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, because she's like, I'm just in detention because I didn't have anything better to do.
Right.
And she just doesn't give a shit what she looks like. And
an agent of chaos kind of.
Little bit of a slob.
A little bit of a, but she's super artistic.
Yeah.
You know, and just like, eats what the fuck she wants and does what the fuck she wants and doesn't give a fuck what anybody else thinks. It's like there's this makeover scene, and I just think about like 15 minutes after she gets home, she's like washed all that makeup off her face and dressed in the clothing she wants to wear again. And so that character kind of I related to when I saw her in that movie. So
Right on.
Oh boy, I got nothing. I'm really coming up a blank.
The one thing I could think of for you, if I had to, like, off, like, real quick without having a lot of time, is in The Name of the Wind, there's the Kingkiller books. There's a character named, who's one of his good friends named Willem, who is bearded and deep-voiced and gruff and can knock back lots of alcohol and is an appreciator of women, but not in a creepy way, and tells it like it is and doesn't fuck around with anybody, but is also, like, seen as maybe a little aggressive just because he's misunderstood in that way.
I'm not against that.
Yeah.
As a choice.
Good, loyal to his two friends. Only has a couple friends. Doesn't have a ton of friends.
Yeah, I'm
wouldn't
all right
be
with
a
that
super
choice.
Popular dude, but yeah.
I'll go with that. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that works.
All right. Well done, Molly, on answering Nick's question.
You're welcome.
All right,
you're
that's
welcome.
One, two, that was three. All right, we got two more.
All right.
Two more.
Have you ever made a decision that changed your entire life? And if so, what was it?
I mean, all the time.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you're making decisions right, all of them change your life.
I tried out for the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
There you go.
And, I mean, that was 35 years ago.
Yeah. That seems like a good one for you, that you tried out.
Yeah.
I mean, literally everything about my life from
it was
the,
definitive,
the
yeah.
people that I now hang out with to my what I do artistically has branched off of that tree.
If we're picking like a defining choice or moment that is like where your life diverges,
like there's before and after,
and it's kind of like where I am now. I am because you could trace it all the way back to this one decision. It was a friend of mine convinced me to go check out Convergence.
Right.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because of that, I eventually found this bulletin board system where I met Molly, and that's where our paths first crossed. That was,
y'all were BBS pals.
Yeah, I got into a little bit of mischief at Convergence and ended up doing some volunteering to compensate.
Voluntolding,
and that got me actually involved in Convergence as you know, just volunteering more and doing more.
Yeah.
And that got me into Consuite, and I met a lot of people, and eventually, you know, the only reason I'm in Vail is because I know Lori, but I know Lori from the same BBS where I know Molly.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I think listening to a friend saying like, "Hey, come with us to Convergence," like right that on. Was that's it.
So you found your tribe.
Yeah, totally. I was. It's funny. I was going to say calling my first Citadel BBS because that I agreed. That also like super changed everything for me, and that's all my. I have a lot of the same friends, but instead, I'm going to say, just to not to piggyback on what you did. So I'm going to say, you know, when I applied for the job at FFG. Because applying for the job at FFG and getting it, which I never thought I would. So it was kind of a like, oh, what the fuck? Let's see. Maybe I'll have an interview. Maybe that would be great. And I ended up getting the job. But that became, you know, Nick trying out for Vilification Tennis that same year. But then I worked there at Ignite. And so because we worked together, you know, getting to know him more and getting to know basically Tim and everyone else, and that's where this podcast came from. And like, I don't think I would have necessarily gotten as involved if I hadn't also been working with someone who was in it. And you know, I mean, so I guess you could say either. I mean, I would say trying out for Vilification Tennis as well, but that was something that just felt like a foregone conclusion once we started going to it more when you were in it.
Yeah.
But I think that getting the job at FFG has really changed because that's the first career I've ever had. And that's now I feel like I have a career path, regardless of even if I don't work there anymore. Project manager is clearly what I'm meant to be. So absolutely. I think that's I wouldn't have figured that out without FFG. Right. So.
Good answer.
Good answer. All right. Question number five.
Last question.
Last question.
Oh.
What? This is a good one for the last question.
All right.
What's your most useless skill?
Ooh. Skill, not stupid trick.
Dang, I thought
a
it was going to be
stupid trick
the pizza
would count as a skill.
Question.
Stupid. So I can touch my nose with my tongue.
That's it.
Like pretty dramatically.
There's a lot of things you do a lot of things
which
dramatically.
Which leads to a lot of other skills, I guess.
Oh, wow.
No, I don't know.
That's why I was going for a high five.
Made her very popular. Yeah.
You'd think. No.
I've got really good and really limited spatial relations. Because I'm so all blind in my right eye. Yeah. I don't have a lot of depth perception.
Yeah.
But for some reason, packing a car with luggage or a dishwasher with dishes, I can get like more shit in there in an accessible way where it all gets clean or all gets in the car and we can get things in and out. Like, I'm fucking gangbusters.
Can confirm.
Or, those two things.
Or you can look at a pile of band equipment and say, that shit's never going to fit in that car.
Right. No, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, I've had some pretty heroic single person trips to IKEA coming back with like a shitload of stuff.
That's true.
And it's, and with my tiny little Kia Soul.
Right.
And I've been like, nah, that'll fit, but I'll need to do this, this, and this.
Sure.
And my arm's going to be up the whole time. And like, lo and behold, that's exactly how it is.
Right
but
on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it feels like a useful skill.
It does feel like a useful skill.
What about boron playing? That's a.
Except it makes him shit tons of money.
It does.
So
it's not useless.
I'm actually really fucking.
Y'all are going with
yeah. I know. I just love to give you shit.
I got all kinds of useful weird skills.
Yeah. No, I think actually the useless skill is that I'm just good enough at juggling.
Oh,
there you go.
I can like pick up almost any three objects and juggle them. And I can pick up almost any juggling apparatus and figure out how to do a basic trick in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I can't do any fucking more than that.
Sure.
Oh, wait, okay.
That's useless.
Okay,
useless skill.
It's useless.
I got,
yeah. That's why I didn't say like I can always see errors.
All right, that's not super useful, but I got to use more.
It is. It makes
skill.
Me money.
All right. So, water bottles or cans of soda or water or liquor bottles. I cannot juggle anything, but I can flip and catch with one hand really well.
Oh, wow.
Whether it's a spin or like a total loop.
Yeah.
Like the both ways they could possibly flip out of your hand and be caught.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when I was a high schooler and I worked at Office Max, I had like a 20-ounce bottle of Mountain Dew on me usually.
Yeah.
And I would just flip it. Everywhere I went and as I drank it down, so at like every level where it would get kind of uneven as you spun it, like, and I can still do it.
That is
pretty good.
Unapologetically geeky.
That's a useful skill.
Now I have a better answer, too.
Yeah, what's your better answer now?
So my better answer is that there's this game that my dad taught me that we used to play on family trips where you take a salt shaker and you slide it across the table at each other, and the goal is to have a tip of the salt shaker off the edge of the table.
Yes. Oh, yes. Without it falling.
And Pat and I have revised this to do it with sugar packets because they're quieter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they break less when they fall.
And they don't break when they fall.
Yes.
I fucking rule.
Yeah.
I fucking rule at that.
Useless skill.
I regularly double or triple Pat's score when we play that game. And she's just like, what the fuck? Because like 6-7 times in a row, get it perfect. And that's a super useful skill.
I'm
going to
do a second one just because I can. It's very fast. I can fold almost anything into a paper crane if it's a square. I can take a Starburst wrapper. I can take a gum wrapper. Wow. I can take a newspaper. I can fold almost anything.
Aluminum
very
foil.
Small. I will fold teeny tiny paper cranes, ones that are like millimeters in size. I can,
wow.
I can do that.
It took us a little while to get to it, but those are super
those
useful.
Are very
yeah.
useless
yeah,
skills.
That's good. Yeah. All right. I just want to know, Jeffrey, what's your most useless skill?
I can sleep anywhere.
That is a that's a good
that,
one.
No, that's, a
that's not that's
skill.
A yes, that is
that's a useful,
useful
skill.
Skill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Super
yeah.
useful.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I know my completely useless skill. I can tell you what celebrity voiceovers are. Like, from listening.
Like you can just hear them. You just know who
I
it
hear
is.
Them. I have a,
that's great.
A ear for voices, and I can tell you who it is. I'm like, that's Stalker Channing. Or
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everybody knows that's Stalker Channing.
Well, Stalker Channing's not a good example, but I'll be like, that's Sam Waterston.
I fool every single guess your weight guy. that's my 90s mutant power.
But that's
because you're like super dense.
Yeah,
like,
it's because they always think I weigh way less than I do, and I'm always like, fucking idiot. Like,
that's a useful
behold.
It's not a skill, that's a quality.
I always want to, and this is, you know, we should be done, but I always want to go up to those guess your weight age guys with my best friend from high school, Carl Anderson, because Carl is 6 months older than me. And he looks 10 years older. and I'm just like, they'd get one of our ages wrong if we went up together.
It's because you don't drink, Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you would drink like
he doesn't
I do,
either.
You're 10 years older than me, and I look 10 years older than you.
Yeah.
only five. Anyway. Anyway, Jeffrey, thanks for joining us.
Yay! Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
I'm certainly curious to hear what our listeners' most useless skills are. So feel free to comment and let us know.
Also, we need questions so bad.
We do. Uh-huh. We have two sets left.
Something like that.
And after tonight, we're going to be down to one.
I think so.
Yeah. So send us questions, because then when we don't have them, we're going to have to make shit up.
We're going to cancel the show.
Yeah, that's not really going to happen. Molly's just. But we might. I mean, weird ass shit could happen. Weird ass shit could happen. That's all I'm saying. And also, you should support us on Patreon, whether you send us in your questions or not. And thanks for listening. We'll be around, you know, this time next week.
Enjoy the theme song.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
For Geeks Without God, I'm Timothy Wick.
You are not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
And it was like blood. I'm like, no.